Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 for the fourth of these six messages in this series, The Walk of the Believer. We mentioned again from the outset that the portion in 1 John 2:6 says that he who says he abides in him, says he's a believer, ought himself to walk just as he walked. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're reminded that we should follow his steps. And so Paul the Apostle himself said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we are to follow him. We're Christians, small, I-A-N means miniature. So we're followers of Christ. We're miniature. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. We'll never fill his shoes, so to speak. But we are to follow his steps, follow his lead. Ephesians chapter 5 speaks about the walk of the believer. And we read this portion last night all the way up to verse 17. There's more, of course, to this chapter. But in this portion, there are a couple different ways that believers are reminded that they are to walk. And we want to highlight verse 15, walk circumspectly. We want to highlight verse 8, walk as children of light. But now we're focusing in this message on walking in love. And we read verse 1, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, there are a lot of things that are said just in those two verses that speak so much to each one of us. They should, at least. It says in verse 2 that we should walk in love as Christ also loved us. Now, he loved, that's past tense. So what that means is that before we were believers, he still loved us. So even while we were in our sin, he still loved us. Now, that's in contrast to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It says that he loves, present tense, us. He loved us and washed us from our sins, present and past too. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to say that it's like the account that he'd heard about a fire taking place and a house was burned, and the child that was in the house at the time was saved, was spared. It was dirty, it was sooty, but when the parents arrived, they saw their child, and to their joy, the child wasn't hurt, but it was very dirty. Didn't matter at all. They picked up that child and hugged that child, full of dirt and soot and everything else. Didn't matter. They were dirty, but they loved their child, and they were glad that that child was spared. And it's that way with us in the Lord Jesus, too. He loved us and washed us in our sins. Notice the order there. He loved us and washed us in our sins. So when we were not believers, he loved us anyway. And that's what the focus, I think, is on verse 2. It's saying that we are to walk in love just as Christ also loved us. And we should have a love for the brethren. We should have love for the Lord. We should have love for those who don't know the Lord. Even though they may not be attractive, they may not be clean, so to speak, we still need to show our love to him. And that's the example that is given to us here in this portion. And it says that this action is an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. This is something that's certainly pleasing to the Lord. We think of the passage like in the book of Genesis when Noah, after he came off the ark, he was thankful. He built an altar to the Lord. And it says the fragrance of that reached up into heaven. And God was pleased with that aroma, that sacrifice of what took place at the end of that flood. And so, again, these things, these sacrifices of the New Testament believer, when they're done in the right attitude, with the right spirit, with the right motive behind it, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. And that's the things; those are the things that we need to keep in mind. Well, in this message, we're going to highlight this portion, walking in love. We've already taken a look at these other messages, walking worthy of the Lord, what that meant, and walking in the light of God's word and the light of his presence and the promises of Scripture. We just looked at the message, walking in the Spirit, what that might mean. This message, we want to focus on walking in love for a number of different things. That's the passage here, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, that we walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So what does it mean then to walk in love? Well, I think it means this. It means loving the Lord with all our being. That's the first thing we want to start off with. We walk in love. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't qualify. But we know from the scriptures that we should be walking in love for the Lord. That's really what should fuel our service for Christ, our love for Him. Remember the sinful woman that was in the house and the Lord came in and the other disciples were there and this woman was a sinful woman. We don't know who she was. A lot of people like to identify her as Mary Magdalene, but the scripture doesn't say that. It's probably somebody else. It's in Luke chapter 7 is the portion. And she was there crying and tearful. She was a sinful woman, whatever that meant that she was sinful and however that took place in her life. But she washed her the feet of the Savior with her hair. And when the disciples saw that, and then, of course, the fragrance, the oil and perfume that were poured out, the alabaster box or flask was broken, they took exception to that because it was an expensive thing. And the Lord's response is, she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And when we understand how much we've been forgiven by the Lord, that can fuel our service for Him. Our love for Him is in some ways contingent on how much we understand that we've been forgiven. And so that's the point that comes out in that portion in Luke chapter 7. But it means loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And in Psalm 116, I always love that verse. Psalm 116 is a great verse. Let me go past it here. That's Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord, the psalmist says, because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. I love that testimony. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice crying out to Him for salvation. He's heard my supplications subsequent to that, all the prayers that I offer up to the Lord, because He's inclined His ear to me. He loves me. The one who is infinitely high is also intimately nigh, as someone said. And He listens and bends down His ear to care for me. Casting all your care upon Him, Peter says, Peter 5, 7. Casting our care upon Him, for He cares for you. And so, therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. So that's the reminder to us. Out of love for Christ, out of love for what He's done for us, we should certainly love Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and became a propitiation for our sins. So Psalm 116 verses 1 and 2 is a great portion in God's Word. But I always love Jude 21. You see that in the string of references there behind that point. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, a new believer might get tripped up on that and say, what does that mean? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Makes it sound like you have to do something to make sure you're always in His favor. But that's not what it means. What it means is keep reminding yourselves of the love of God. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's what it says, right? In Romans chapter 8. And so if it says nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, we don't have to do anything to keep ourselves in His favor. As if we do something wrong, we will lose that favor. That's not what that verse is teaching. That verse is a reminder to us that we need to keep reminding ourselves of the love of God that shines on me. Someone says, what is it, the love of God? It's like the sun shining on us. What happens if you turn your back upon the love of God? Someone said, well, the sun will shine on your back as well. And so the idea is that we're never outside of the focus of God's love. And that's what Jude 21 reminds us of. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Let me read you those verses as well. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 2 and 3 says this, for this we know that we love the children of God because we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And so His commandments are not burdensome. When we love the Lord, we want to do all that He wants us to do. So what does it mean to walk in love? That's what we're exhorted to do. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. What does that mean? Well, we don't know exactly what that meant, what Paul had in mind under the leading of the Holy Spirit, but it could mean at least three different things. At least three, and maybe more. The first one, it would obviously mean that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. that passage there that you see, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, that we're told that we should be doing those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. That's the work of our great shepherd, Christ. Now, the Lord is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And we read about the fact that he is indeed the shepherd ministry of Christ. John chapter 10, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's salvation. But the great shepherd is one that sanctifies us. And that's what Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 is all about. To do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. That's the work of the great shepherd. Good shepherd for salvation, great shepherd for sanctification. And then in reward for our service, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says that when Peter is speaking of himself, he says, when the chief shepherd shall come, he'll give me the crown of glory, helping people along in the spiritual life. So the Lord is our good shepherd in terms of salvation, our great shepherd for sanctification, and he gives a reward for us for service done on his behalf. That means he's our chief shepherd. So the good, great, and chief shepherd. And Hebrews 13, 20, 21 says it's the Lord that works in us to do those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says that we are to be like soldiers, every one of us, guy or girl, doesn't matter. And we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he might please him who has called him to this service. As a soldier. So we have a responsibility to serve the Lord. So there's one thing about doing it out of duty. Another one is doing it out of love. When it's done out of love, it doesn't bother you. If you feel that you are being compelled to do something, you grudge about it. You don't want to do it. You know, you complain, all that. But if it's something that you want to do to please your employer, please the person who's asking to do it, it's not work at all. His commandments are not burdensome, it says in 1 John 5, as we talked about. And so we want to serve the Lord with joy. We want to serve him because of what he's done for us. He's given us salvation. We have a reservation reserved for us in heaven. He's given us of his goodness, his blessings to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, the assurance of salvation. He's given us the security of our salvation. He has given us spiritual gifts and abilities to serve him. He's done all these things for us. We should serve him in joy and thanksgiving. And so those are what those verses are all about, and an important thing for us to keep in mind. The next point we want to bring out is this. Okay, so we should love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, our all being. But secondly, when it says walk in love, it could mean this, that we should make sure that we are loving those who love the Lord. Now that's a real challenge. You know, it says in Titus chapter 1, that he has called us to do good work. Chapter 2, rather. Titus chapter 2. Oh, that reminds me. In the previous message, I cited Genesis 22. I was reminded it was Genesis 24, and I know that to be the case. I preached on the passage many times. One of those cases, I put a 2 down one time too many. Genesis 24 in the previous message on the unnamed service. So you can go back and correct your notes on that. But here at this point, what does it mean to walk in love? It means loving those who love the Lord. And in Titus chapter 2, when we hear that the grace of God has appeared to all men, helping us to deny ungodly lusts, and godliness and worldly lusts, that we should follow the Lord. And then it says that he's called us this way to be his own special people. King James Version says peculiar people. And I've said to myself, you know, I've met a lot of peculiar Christians down through the years. And yet I'm commanded to love those peculiar people. And there are, I'm not talking about you, Tom, but the peculiar people, you know, Christians come in all shapes and sizes and everything else. And everybody's got different backgrounds to them. And so we have to keep that in mind. It's diversity within the body of Christ in a good way. And, you know, if we're all the exact same way, that would be a pretty boring situation. But we all have different backgrounds. We all have different ways of looking at things and all the rest. We still have that responsibility to love the brethren. Because in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 1, as it says right there, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Now, when I first read that verse in the New King James Version, I got confused. I said, what's it mean here in the Old King James Version, rather? But if you read it carefully, it says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, we know that he's the Savior, and everyone who loves him who begot, pause right there. We love him who's the one that begets believers to himself. James chapter 1 tells us that we've begotten by his will. It loves him who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Now, in this verse right there, if you notice where the capitalization is, we love him, a believer in Christ, who is begotten of him, Christ. So that means that we have a responsibility to love those who know the Lord. That's what that point is all about. And so 1 John 5:1 says it really clear that we love him for this reason. And actually, I had one typo in here, and this is the typo that I was mentioning to Sherman. It's not Psalm 116 again, but it's 1 John 3:14. The benchmark of true faith in Christ is that we follow the Lord and we love other believers. Verse 14, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. John uses strong language, doesn't he? Here in this portion. Very strong language. And he's saying, if you don't do this, you're abiding in death. Well, that's pretty strong language to me. But the point of the matter is this, we love others who also love the Lord. And there are differences. There's no question about it. I wouldn't think that way like another person thinks. I wouldn't approach something that way like another person approached. It's different when you come to doctrine. But when you come to practice, you know, you don't have to die on that hill. I mean, we die on the hill for the fact of Christ is the Son of God. We won't relinquish off of that. Or the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's a hill that you die on, all right? But doing different things, the color of the carpet, the color of the drapes, you know, you don't die on that hill, right, for those things. You have to learn that there are differences and people have different opinions on things. And so it's important to make sure that we are loving the brethren. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel is what it says. And so we learn to get along with one another, and we should. And it's very important to do that. So 1 John tells us that's a benchmark of true faith. We can agree to disagree, but we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get centered on that and focused on that. And that's so important to keep in mind. And so it means loving those who indeed love the Lord. The next point that we'd like to bring out is this, and by the way, on my one phrase, I might have had it. There it is. I think I did have it. Yeah, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death, and we have that on that slide right there. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 highlights this point, that it means that we love those who don't love the Lord. All right, point number 3. When it says walk in love, we have a love toward the Lord. We have a love toward God's people, the most excellent in all the earth, the psalmist said. I think it's Psalm 16, if I remember right, or one of the psalms. It also means loving those who don't love the Lord. That goes back to that illustration of Moody when he said the child was picked up and hugged, even though it was dirty, he still loved that child. And it applies to the unsaved, but it also applies to the person who might have been away from the Lord and got into problems and needs restoration. And even though they got themselves into a lot of problems and they're dirty and marked up and scarred, perhaps you still love that fellow believer in Christ. So you love those who love the Lord, but you also love those who don't know the Lord, who have gotten away from the Lord. Those are important points as well. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 brings it out very clearly. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I love that verse. In the New Old King James, it says it's been shed abroad in our hearts. I like that phraseology, shed abroad in our hearts. You have your heart and the love of God fills the heart. Shed abroad in our hearts. Here it says poured out into our hearts. They got the same concept, but I like the idea of shed abroad. It is God's desire is to fill every aspect of our heart with His love, so His love can flow through us and out to others, whether it's to the Lord Himself or it's to those other believers or to the unsaved. That's what motivates us, isn't it? To go out and tell others about Christ. That's what motivates us to want to serve the Lord's people in the various events that are part of Know the Word. We want to see the Lord's people come together in activities. We want to encourage fellowship. We love fellowship. It's important. You need it. This is a necessity, the preaching of God's Word. It's the message of the cross that's so important when we preach from the pulpit, gospel or Bible teaching. So important. But I can tell you this, that a lot of material, information, a lot of material is not the right word. A lot of help has been transferred down in that aisle or down in the fellowship room or at a picnic or some other place. The fellowship with the Lord's people. When we get together, fellowship is so important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's important. That's teaching. That's listed first in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And then the breaking of bread. That's worship. So important. And fellowship and prayers. Four things in Acts 2:42 that the early church continued steadfastly in. Doesn't mean they have observed it when they had the opportunity. Fellowship was one of those. As soon as you start seeing the time where the Lord's people don't want to get together, you're in trouble. Because that is the glue in some ways that keeps God's people together and the congregation together. The enjoyment of being with one another in fellowship. It doesn't trump the Bible teaching, but it's important. Let me take you to a passage I always love taking people to in John chapter 12. Just turn for a moment in John chapter 12. I may have said this. I never know where I say these things and just kind of forget where I say it. But maybe I said it here and you weren't here, or maybe I didn't say it. But John chapter 12, look with me, John chapter 12. This is the Lord coming to Bethany, and he had three great friends at Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it says in verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead and whom he had raised from the dead. So he'd already been raised from the dead, Lazarus. And so it says in verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. That's Martha. She's the servant, isn't she? We've talked about this last night. So Martha served, two words, right? Martha served, very important. Service for the Lord, very important. God has given us spiritual gifts and abilities, and we serve him with those talents he has given us supernaturally. So Martha served. But then it says Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. That's fellowship. You sit at the table and have fellowship with somebody. That's important. That's got a longer description to it. That's got some 12 words to it versus two words. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those who had sat at the table with him. But then look at verse 3. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. That's worship. That's got some 30 plus words to it. So you see the priority that the Lord gives to worship and how much important it is for fellowship and service. All of these things are important. Worship takes the priority. And fellowship, important. So we don't want to rule out, obviously, fellowship, the most important thing. Worship, most important thing. And Bible teaching, we don't have that right here, but the Lord is going to talk with them, and so he's teaching them as well. And so teaching and fellowship and worship and all these things, service for the Lord, all important. And we have to keep in mind that those are things that we need to continually, steadfastly observe. So Romans chapter 5, the hope of God does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so that right there, we'll continue this. Sorry, I went a little bit too far here. Okay, sorry. Keep hitting the wrong button here. All right, we'll stop right there. But that's the point, that we love those who don't love the Lord. John 3:16, and you don't see that slide. I'm going to have to go through this once again. We'll just zip by it through it real quickly. And point number 3, right here. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we know it, John 3:16, God so loved the world There's four different ways you can use the world in the New Testament, but one of them is the world of people. There's the world of things. There's the world of possessions and things like that. There's the world that we live in and breathe the air that's in the world. We see the mountains and the seas. That's another form of that word world. But here, God so loved the world of people filled with sin, disobedience against sin, and he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to go into that world of people to proclaim the gospel. And we have that same responsibility to love those who don't love the Lord. So it says, walk in love in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Walk in love. So God has called us to love him and to love him with all our being. He's called us to love one another and tangibly show that love, whether it's a phone call or whether it's a gift or it's maybe help somebody out financially if they have need. Share your finances. I've learned that even with those that I might not necessarily agree with on certain things, you know what changes my attitude? When somehow, some way, I minister to them in a tangible way, whether it's a financial gift or whether it's giving something, it changes my heart toward them because I deliberately take that step. I've done that. When I felt something rearing up saying of the flesh and saying, no, that's not the right attitude, the way I countered my own aspect of what was taking place is I deliberately reached out to minister that way, and it changed my own heart. And that's a great strategy to keep in mind. When the Lord Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says when he began to pray, his face was glistening, it says. That's a reminder that prayer, we often go to prayer to ask the Lord to change a situation or circumstances. And indeed, that's why we use prayer. That's why we take advantage of that avenue of communication with the Lord. But one thing may come out of it. Even if something doesn't change, it can change us. Just like it changed the Lord in that sense, or for him, it was showing his glory. And so his face began to glisten. That's in Luke chapter 9, that passage in Luke chapter 9. So keep in mind that we are to love the Lord, love the Lord's people, and those who don't know the Lord. That passage in John chapter 4 and verse 4 is about the Lord who said of him, he must needs go through Samaria. Remember that portion in John chapter 4? Most all of Israel would skirt Samaria because Samaritans were half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. And there was a resentment that the nation of Israel had against the Samaritans. They adopted some of their religious things. They observed the Pentateuch, and so they would observe certain things there from the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. But then they made and added other things to their observance of the true God, and it would infuriate the Jews. And so the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with one another because of that. But the Lord didn't allow that to keep him from going through Samaria. Everybody else in the nation of Israel skirted around Samaria. He must needs go to Samaria. Why was that? Because there would be a woman at the well that he needed to bring the gospel to. See, that's our Savior's love for everyone. And so he didn't skirt it. And so John 4:4 reminds us of that very thing. And so what does it mean to walk in love? As we read here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it means to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, our whole being. Love those who love the Lord, the most excellent in all the earth. Peculiar people, but way better than a lot of this world, that's for sure. And then also love those who don't know him yet. And by our love for them, that perhaps they're, as we adorn the doctrine of God, they are drawn to him. And so we trust that these words would be helpful to each one of us in our service for Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you that it speaks to our heart. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who reminds us of these things and calls these things to remembrance. Lord, perhaps later today we'll be reminded of a verse that was shared and have it speak to our hearts. So, Father, thank you for all that you do for us, for your care and for your keeping. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.